Hello everyone, this is Natalie Armstrong-Moton with Marketing Resolution. Thanks very much for watching our YouTube channel. I have with me today Chris Pierce. Hello Chris, how are you?
Hi Natalie, very well indeed, thank you.
Good, good, good. Thanks very much for joining me. I know that you're a busy, busy man and that we had some time scheduled earlier and trains and all kinds of conflicts, but we've got it all worked out now.
Absolutely.
Because that's what we do. We resolve things. So I know that you have some really unique trainings that you offer through Clarity Space. And if you've got a few minutes, could you just introduce yourself and what it is that Clarity Space does for people?
Sure. I'd love to do that, Natalie. As you said, my name's Chris Pierce. And Clarity Space is an enterprise I set up quite some time ago. Really to offer facilitation services to senior teams in various corporations. And that's kind of evolved over the years into what is essentially a coaching practice, an executive coaching practice. And it's culminated in a 24-week program that I run. But the focus of the program, I think, is it's possibly not unique, but it's certainly not mainstream, in that it focuses on what I call the inner dynamics of the individual, because the outer dynamics, if you like, the world that we know is we're all very familiar with, and we don't need to know an awful lot more about it, and anything that's missing we can ask Google. But when it comes to knowing more about our inner dynamics and who we are and what we're all about, I think that's a far more interesting proposition to look at. And also, it gets us to the causal area of people's behavior. So that being the case, it means that you've got far bigger levers for change inside a person than you do in their external environment. And the other advantage is it's much easier to change the way you think than it is to change the situation that you're in. So there are a number of advantages of going inside rather than outside, and that's essentially what I do in my coaching program.
Okay, so you've got coaching programs that help managers, leaders, CEOs, regular Joes like me to manage our communication, to manage the way we perceive conflict, the way we handle anything that comes up.
Yes, it's all of that. It's about self-awareness. It's about raising consciousness, if you like, and making the client more aware of their inner dynamics, so that, for instance, conflict is very, very, very often fueled by negative reactive behavior. You say something I don't like, and I immediately react with something that I hope you're not going to like either. And so the conflict escalates. And there's very little that we can do about it. Once we're in the midst of it, it can happen autonomously and leave us in a situation where, although we might get some temporary gratification out of having upset someone or outdone them or won an argument, once that fades, we're left with very little fulfillment and quite possibly a sense of regret, a sense of loss, a sense of failure. But when you start to look inside at the mechanism that leads to conflict, you can start to see that there's actually a choice. When somebody says something to you that you don't like, there's a feeling that arises, very often a negative feeling, that you do not have to act on. There's a gap between the external stimulus and your feeling response. And if you can get in that gap and say, hang on a minute, I'm not going to go with my habitual reactive behavior. I'm actually going to exercise intelligent choice here so that I can respond instead of reacting. Then you can start to undermine the habit and interrupt the process that leads to conflict. And I'm sure as a mediator, that's something that's quite familiar to you.
it is really familiar to me, but I really like your particular and very specific programs, because it seems to me that what you're doing is teaching people how to proactively manage issues as much as you're teaching them how to manage a dispute or a conflict, should it get that far.
Oh, absolutely. And what I'm doing is, I don't teach techniques or even strategies. What I want people to do is have the insights into their own being, their own inner world, so that they can understand what's going on and not actually need to adopt techniques and strategies. I'm not saying there isn't a place for those. There absolutely is. And in fact, whilst you're learning the bigger picture, it can be very useful for people to rely on tips. It's a bit like, you know, if you get a really bad toothache, a tooth infection, it would be foolish to wait to go to the dentist. You're better off taking some painkillers now, and then possibly a course of antibiotics, and then getting the tooth extracted. So I'm not advocating this as a sole approach, but it's the most powerful long-term solution, because it changes the way that you behave. You know, and it also changes the relationship you have with yourself. And as a consequence, it radically changes the relationship that you have with other people. And you start to understand that, wow, if I've been subject to some of these autonomic processes that I'm now beginning to get a grip on, well, maybe everybody around me is also in the thrall of these processes, and maybe they can't help doing what they're doing, behaving like they're behaving. Maybe they're just doing the best they can with whatever they've got. So it actually tends to make people a lot more compassionate, tolerant, and less stress filled as well. So this kind of inner knowledge is a fantastic antidote to a lot of the stress that people experience, because conflict is really a manifestation of a stressful relationship. But you don't need someone else to experience stress. You can do that on your own in a telephone kiosk if you want. but stress is very, very damaging, and I'm no psychologist or psychiatrist, but I suspect that this kind of stress is a significant factor behind a lot of the mental health issues that we have today.
Yeah, I think that you're probably right. I remember one of the loveliest things that I learned from my grandmother's was something that, you know, when I was a little kid, it was difficult to understand, and, you know, I didn't always put it to good use. My grandmothers used to say to us, there's the 100-year rule, you know, apply the 100-year rule. The 100-year rule that they were talking about was that if something was going to matter 100 years from now, then you should stand up and you should fight for it. You should, it will make a difference, and it's worthy of your time and attention. If it's not going to matter 100 years from now, you probably ought to step back a little bit, take a deep breath, and approach it somewhat differently, because it's just a detail.
Absolutely. Now, that's all about perspective, isn't it? It's all about perspective, point of view, and how big the picture is that you're looking at. And one of my hobbies is looking at the stars. And when I do that, that can really shift one's perspective over just how unimportant one's little existence really is, you know? And yet we do take ourselves so terribly seriously. I don't know about 100 years. Well, I suspect in 100 years' time, no one's going to have any memory of me. In 1,000 years' time or 10,000 years' time, which is still a small period, you know, in the history of mankind, none of us are going to have any importance at all. Our little sojourn on the earth is very short in the grand scheme of things, very short indeed. So You know, why? And you know, we come in with nothing. We certainly leave with nothing. Let's not take it too seriously. Let's have fun. And, you know, here's a really existential philosophical question. What is the purpose of life? Well, I can tell you what the purpose of life is for me sometimes, and that's just to live. And it's no more complicated than that. But the human condition is such that, we do make it complicated and difficult and challenging and stressful and all the rest of it.
We do, and I know that what you teach us is that kind of stress, those kinds of interactions, we have a choice about how we approach them, yeah. about how we view them, about how we yeah. manage them, and that thereby reduces the stress that we feel, and that that kind of release of those things has a contagious effect. It leads from you to me to the next yes. person that I talk to in my calendar. It leads to my interaction with my neighbor at the mailbox. It leads to the way I treat the people in line at the bakery and yep. my conversation that I have with my children and my husband. And so it has this trickle-down effect that is incredibly powerful.
Absolutely. And it's not always fully conscious, because sometimes you just feel a little bit more uplifted than usual. And you won't necessarily be able to attribute that to a particular event. Or you might have a vague sense that some interaction you had with someone was quite uplifting. But it won't necessarily be conscious in the sense that, oh, Natalie, I had a great conversation with Natalie this morning, so I'm going to be nice to everybody from now on. You know, it doesn't really work like that. It's this stuff is under the radar, a lot of it. And speaking of under the radar, sorry,
it's a bit more subtle. You're right.
Absolutely. And I think one of the metaphors I use talking about radars is that we need radars, but we need a radar that's pointing in, not just out. And we are change everything that's out there, but we spend very little time looking in. Coming back to the habits that you were talking about, one of the real reasons we can find it quite difficult to change our behavior once we realize that we want to is because it can be the product of decades of practice. And practice makes perfect. So we practice a habit to the point where it becomes autonomous. And then one day we wake up and decide, oh, I don't like that, got to change it. And lo and behold, it's not quite as easy as we'd like it to be. So, you know, you can make a little bit of progress and then your partner will say something and you'll lose it completely. And then you'll beat yourself up because you thought, well, I thought I was better than that. I thought I'd broken that habit. But there are many, many layers to it.
Sure. But that's, I suppose that's the great value in your particular trainings is that it's not just an afternoon. This is an ongoing support program that you've built for people. So you have the one-on-one coaching, or you with a team, or you with a company, or you with a couple. And then they also have, you've got resources on the claritiespace.co.uk website, so that people are constantly being supported by you and this program. It's, you don't just have a conversation and then send them off into the world and, you know, wish them all the best.
No, that doesn't work very well. No, you're absolutely right. There are various levels of this. So I work with senior teams on strategy. And the way I see the kind of conscious focus is on strategy. I'm also exposing a lot of the interrelationships in that team, and the kind of social dynamics, the rapport and all of that stuff, and the way they communicate. but it's done in the context of strategy. So it's not navel gazing, and that's a powerful thing. Then the other way I work is through workshops. So people who are interested in this kind of thinking can attend workshops on anything from strategic thinking to mindfulness and meditation, which is a very powerful tool when it's properly understood. And that's a big when, because there's a lot of chat about mindfulness and meditation these days. It's becoming commercialized. And unfortunately, the reality is that there's not always the depth of knowledge behind some of the offerings that there needs to be. And then we've got the coaching program, and it is a program. It's a 24-week program, which is, in my experience, about the optimum period of time to initiate and embed some real behavioral change. So it comprises weekly material, which is quite challenging in terms of the subject matters and getting people to look at themselves and their behaviors. It does challenge a lot of orthodox thinking in a good way, but it's supported by one-on-one meetings. So rather like you and I are meeting over Zoom, I would meet the client over Zoom or face-to-face for a couple of hours in order to do two things. One is to explore the material that they've looked at, and secondly, to look at live work challenges that they're confronted with.
Right. So that brings me to my next question, and I think I know the answer, but I just want to be sure. Because we have this kind of technology, you can work not just within the UK, but you can work with clients anywhere on the planet, as long as they've got an internet connection and we can have this virtual face-to-face kind of conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And contrary to some of the received wisdom, a Zoom meeting is as good as a face-to-face. And if you say, yeah, well, okay, you're seeing each other, you've got the body language, but what about telephone? Well, the telephone meetings are actually quite interesting, because when you take away the physical, the visual presence, you focus that much more on the voice of the person you're listening to. So you're gathering more information through the auditory channel like that. It's rather like people with sight impairment become much more acute in terms of their hearing. So it swings and roundabouts, but I first discovered this years ago when the volcano in Iceland blew up, and my coaching client, who was flying over from the States, couldn't get across. So he had to go back to the States, and we started coaching remotely like this. I think we used Skype at the time. And carried on, and we did the whole coaching program, and I only met him face to face about 5 years afterwards, and it didn't feel as if I'd never met him. It didn't feel as if I'd never met him physically. So yeah, Zoom, anything, you know, as long as it's real time.
Well, and I think that, yeah, there is a lot of value in you and I sitting face to face. I can see your face. I can see if you're, I don't know, rolling your eyes at something I say, or, I can see that, you know, as I'm talking, your mind wanders away from the conversation, you know, even though you're giving me verbal cues that tell me that you're paying attention to my conversation. So it is really valuable, this face-to-face. So I really like it that you can do that for your clients. I think that's excellent. So the claritiespace.co.uk, people can log on. They can see these different trainings. They can look at the coaching. They can figure out what's best for them or their company or their marriage or whatever it is that they have going on, and reach out to you and utilize some of these really powerful tools that you've designed. I really like it, Chris.
Absolutely. I'm glad you do. And I from a fellow professional and specialist, I appreciate that.
Thanks very much. Thanks very much. And thanks for joining me face to face. It's nice to see your handsome self.
Thank you, Natalie.
You're welcome. Listen, everybody, if you enjoyed this video, please subscribe, like, share. I've got Chris's website link down in the description box. Click on that. Give the man a call. He's a professional of the highest standard. And as always, be good humans.